You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. And we are back here on Purple Friday, but it really just doesn't feel like a Purple Friday. Matthew Stevens is not with us, so it's just me today, but there's just not a lot of optimism to go around in Baltimore right now. And really, the tipping point for all of that is the news that Lamar Jackson has tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, I reported this news 2 days ago. I didn't know it was for certain, but that's what I was hearing from sources. And I'm sad and upset that my first report ended up being right about this. There's a person who tested positive for a deadly disease. That's not what I want to hear. That's not what I want to have happen. And especially to a person as good as Lamar Jackson, a pure-hearted person who cares about nothing more than winning, not for himself, but for his team. And that's not even the end of this news. There are three others along with Jackson who reportedly tested positive and will be going on the COVID list today. And there could be even more. There's no guarantee. And honestly, in my personal opinion, the game on Sunday should not be played. There's no guarantee that it will be. But at this point, at the point of this recording, it is being played, which is just shocking to me. So it feels kind of weird to do a game preview because honestly, I don't think there's going to be a game here for the Ravens in week 12, at least not right now. So what I want to do is talk about Lamar Jackson and his positive diagnosis and just talk about how this week has been for the Ravens and for the people of Baltimore, Ravens Nation, Ravens flock. It's been a tough week. So just digesting everything that's happened. And then in the second segment, I want to talk about moving forward with this, how this is going to affect the Ravens for the rest of the season, because this is not going to just have implications for this week. It's not just going to have implications for next week. This is going to be something that impacts this Ravens team for the rest of the season and maybe even for future seasons if, unfortunately, there's somebody who has effects after the virus. If there's someone who gets severely impacted by the after effects of the virus, that would be a huge, huge terrible thing for that individual and could severely affect their football career as well as just the rest of their life. So let's jump into all of that in the final segment. We will be doing a game preview just in case it happens. We'll condense offense and defense and final score predictions into one. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We are there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, transactions, and anything else you can imagine from the Baltimore Ravens. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here again. The big news, Lamar Jackson tests positive for the coronavirus on Thursday, it seems. And yeah, this is a tough blow to this Baltimore Ravens team. Again, I reported this 2 days ago and again, was not sure about it, but I had a feeling. And the reason I had a feeling that it was right was because you kind of read the room, right? It's Trace McSorley goes on the COVID list. He's in the quarterback room with Lamar Jackson. And you read the room also, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins also get the virus. Those are guys who Lamar Jackson ended up handing off to quite a bit, at least J.K. Dobbins quite a bit, on Sunday against the Titans. And then you have Patrick McCurry and Matt Skura who test positive, centers who Lamar Jackson was taking snaps from. Skura 2 weeks ago and McCurry last week against the Titans. So with all that, it seemed pretty likely that Lamar Jackson did have the virus. And so again, I'm not happy that my report ended up being right. It's a terrible thing for this Ravens organization because this is something that right now the spread is not under control. And that's the big thing. That was the big thing with moving Thursday's game to Sunday. Even just seeing stuff about who has tested positive and what the responses have been. It's all like, I've seen people say that the Ravens purposely gave themselves coronavirus to avoid this game against the Steelers. I've seen them say all this different type of stuff, and it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. No one in their right mind would ever do that. This Ravens team, you know, the NFL's been pretty clear about if you can field a full 53, it doesn't matter if they're a JV squad, it doesn't matter if they're a middle school B team. they will be playing football on Sunday. And right now, we are in the middle. The Ravens are in the middle of a virus, of an outbreak of a virus that really is bigger than anything we've seen in the NFL this season. The Titans, I think, fall number two in my category now. Lamar Jackson is the biggest profile player to get the virus in season. And that also, I think, is going to have a big effect on people because I think people are now starting to realize, like, it's not just the Ravens who are going through this week either. You have the Cleveland Browns who have a couple players test positive. The Jaguars have their whole defensive staff out. There are a bunch of players and coaches who are testing positive all across the league. But in this particular case, the spread is not contained yet. You have to identify close contacts. If Robert Griffin III and Tyler Huntley go on the COVID list as close contacts, this, I don't even know how the Ravens are going to play because you can't bring in people unless they go through a 5 or 6 day quarantine period. So then Sam Cook is the quarterback because he's the emergency quarterback. I mean, this team is not just, oh, well, they have all these players out. There's no way this team wins, you know, just postpone the game because it's not going to be fun and competitive. That's not what this is. It's once the spread is contained, it doesn't matter who's on the COVID list, who's out with injury. These guys, they're going to play football. So we'll see what ends up happening there. And I do want to touch the end report from Jeff Zriebeck was that Steve Saunders, the head strength and conditioning coach, was the coach under fire and was the one who got punished for breaking protocol. Steve Saunders should be fired. He should be fired immediately by this Baltimore Ravens team. I think it's a shock that he is not fired. I don't care how liked he is within the organization. I don't care this, that, and the other. If Lamar Jackson broke protocol, I'd be calling for his suspension. Now, I know Lamar Jackson would not do that. He's too good of a person to do that, and he's somebody who I think both cares about his teammates and himself. But I don't care who it is. If John Harbaugh did it, I don't care who it is. That person deserves to be under fire, and now because of it, and we'll touch on this in the second segment as well, because of this one individual's actions, I would not be shocked, and honestly, the Ravens should be punished for this. They're going to lose money. They are potentially going to lose a draft pick. I mean, this is stuff that is serious. It's potentially saving lives versus ending them right now. If this virus catches somebody who is a little bit weaker than they think to this virus, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And again, it goes not just in the NFL. It's the point of the Ravens get on a plane and there's somebody who has the virus and that player spreads it to a pilot or to a crew member. And then they go to the hotel and there's a guy helping with luggage and the player spreads it there. And then this just spirals out of control. I mean, right now the NFL and the Ravens have to make sure that this virus is contained. And then I'd be comfortable with playing the Pittsburgh Steelers for their sakes as well. There are reports that say that the Ravens believe Lamar Jackson was infected on Sunday against Tennessee. I mean, the Ravens ignored the COVID cases of Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, and they went through a walkthrough at the facility on Monday, even after those cases were confirmed. That's not smart. That is just not smart. And now we're seeing Thanksgiving night game canceled, and we're seeing potentially this Sunday game canceled. And if this is the case, you know, again, we'll touch on this in the second segment. What happens to this game this week? I mean, there are really only two things that I believe can happen because moving around the schedule right now, there's just no way you can do it. So I think either the Ravens forfeit this game, which I think is actually the less likely of the two scenarios. I don't think there's anything to gain by doing that. Or the Ravens end up playing the Steelers in a week 18, which the NFL had already reserved for potentially COVID-moved games, and this is the prime example of this. And it's like, this season has gone so weirdly for Baltimore, dominating at the beginning, injuries take their toll, now COVID is running rampant. I mean, this season, the Ravens are going to have to go through a lot more adversity than they ever thought they would be. You know, this is a huge, huge deal. And I just wish the Ravens, anybody who's been tested positive for this virus on the team, or anybody who's involved in that situation, to just get healthy, stay well, and just stay safe. That's really, at the end of the day, what I hope for these guys on this team, the staff, the organization, everybody, because this is a horrible thing for any organization to go through, any person to go through. So at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson will not be available for this week or next week against the Dallas Cowboys if those two games are to be played as scheduled. So we'll see who the players are outside of Lamar Jackson who do get placed on the COVID list at the end of today. But this is something where they're going to have to navigate this. It seems like they're going to have potentially a quarter of their team on the coronavirus list, and they're going to be missing more than half their team due to coronavirus and injury. So This is something that's tough for Baltimore, and it's a horrible situation, and hopefully they'll be able to contain that spread in the coming days. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we get back, we'll be talking about what this coronavirus situation means for the Ravens moving forward through the rest of the season, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we are back with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday edition episode. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. And we just talked about the big news of this whole entire week with Lamar Jackson testing positive for the coronavirus. But this is actually going to affect this Ravens team down the line here. And not just this week, not just next week, but throughout the rest of the regular season. It could go into the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, it could affect them next season and beyond as well. So let's just start off with the immediate future this week and next week. I do not think the Baltimore Ravens are going to play on Sunday. I think that would be, one, very irresponsible by the league, and two, it just puts too many people at risk, so I don't think that's going to be the scenario. As I touched on in the first segment, the two options in my eyes are the Ravens forfeit this game, which I don't think will ultimately be what's decided on, or they move this game to what would be a Week 18. And the NFL had previously agreed to make a Week 18 in the event that a situation like this happens, so we'll see if they end up using that. I think it would be very wise to do that, just get the situation contained. Now, there have been rumors of them potentially moving this game, the NFL potentially moving this game to Monday or Tuesday, and that's fine, but at the same time, you'd have to still make a schedule change, because the Ravens are scheduled to play the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday, next Thursday, and you can't have a team play another team on 2 days rest. That just is not possible, so if that were the case, if the NFL was to say, all right, we're going to move this game to Tuesday, hopefully Baltimore gets their spread under control by then, that's all right as long as, one, the spread is contained, but two, there would have to be a schedule change where that Dallas Cowboy game would be moved back to Sunday at the very earliest. Now, if the spread is not contained, and if there's something where people still test positive in the Ravens organization, then they're definitely the Week 18 option for the Pittsburgh game. I think that definitely gets put on the table. They still have to move the Dallas game back anyway. And then I think this is a situation where if this still goes on throughout the weekend and it's still a crazy amount of people testing positive, then you could see maybe two games get severely impacted by this. It's so hard for me to see the Ravens play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. It's getting a little hard for me to see how they play Dallas on Thursday, regardless of if this game is moved back or whatnot. I just don't see how it can happen. I mean, if we go through and we look at what the Ravens COVID list is at the time of this recording, so again, the other three reported cases that were alongside Lamar Jackson have not been added to the list yet, and Lamar Jackson himself actually has not been added to the list, but I'll assume he's going on there. On the reserve COVID list right now, Calais Campbell, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, Imon Marshall, who's currently on IR and out for the season, Pernell McPhee, Trace McSorley, Patrick McCurry, Matt Skura, and Brandon Williams, who Brandon Williams was deemed as a close contact. So that's a bunch of guys. We could see McSorley and Williams come off the list pretty early. If this game is played on Sunday, Williams could even play in the game if his ankle is healthy enough. Now, it's not confirmed or not whether the ankle is actually healthy or not, but he is eligible to come off the list before Sunday. But still, we're going to have Lamar Jackson added to this list. Three other Ravens added to this list. There are multiple staff members, coaches, personnel who have tested positive. This is not just a thing where, yeah, like a whole room has it, like the whole running back room has it, or, you know, that's really it. This is going deep to multiple positions, multiple layers of the organization. This is something that could affect Baltimore for a long time. And then if we want to talk long-term effects throughout the rest of the season, well, if you want to look at this from a situation as Baltimore will be playing in Week 18, that will give time for guys to heal up. For example, players who the Ravens would not have had due to coronavirus on Sunday, they will have for Week 18, barring another outbreak. But that's not what's important here. It's not the fact that the Ravens want to delay this game because they feel like they're not going to win because of injuries. That's not what this is at all. This is a team who, an individual did not follow protocol, And it is showing the consequences of that. The NFL is going to crack down, probably, again, fine the Ravens, possibly make them forfeit a draft pick. But down the line into the regular season, into the playoffs, look, the Ravens had not found their identity. I don't think this is necessarily the spark that they needed. In fact, this is the opposite of a spark. This is terrible. But the Ravens in general have been known to fight through this adversity. They have been known to take the worst situations and turn them into good situations. And this is something the NFL, the world, has not seen before. So we'll see how they end up responding to this. But I do want to talk a little bit about how this could impact the Ravens next season. And even 5 seasons from now. This virus is something that we have not seen before. And with that come a lot of unknown symptoms and unknown effects that it can have even post-virus, even after someone has recovered. There have been players, for example, a Bills tight end had to cut his season short because of a condition that was found that is linked to coronavirus. And that's a very scary thought for any of these guys, you know? And I don't want any of those guys to have to go through something like that. It's a horrible thing for any one individual person to have to go through. I mean, it's one thing if, you know, they get the virus, they recover, and everything's okay. Like, still, it's not good they had the virus. That's awful. But they recover and they're okay. That's a sigh of relief. But if someone has to call a career because of this virus, you can link it all back to Steve Saunders, who did not follow the protocol. And that is extremely frustrating. It's something where someone who was supposed to help the Ravens get stronger makes the team weaker, potentially affects someone not just for their athletic career, but for the rest of their lives. And that's what's the most infuriating part to me. That's why I say I don't care whether it's a star player or a star head coach or some guy who isn't really known. Whoever it is needs to be disciplined and fired, cut, whatever, because that's just, it's not okay. And at the end of the day, that's why this could have effects on guys down the line here. Because let's say, for example, if we pick one guy from this list, we'll say it's J.K. Dobbins. The Ravens have a really potentially star player in J.K. Dobbins. But he has this virus, he recovers from it, and knock on wood, this never happens. I'm praying the best for all these guys. But Dobbins finds a condition that is linked to coronavirus where he cannot play football anymore. That takes away a game he loves. That takes away part of his life that he valued, and that makes the rest of his life more difficult than it would be if he didn't have the virus. That's something nobody should have to go through, and the fact that it falls in the hands of a coach who did not report symptoms and did not wear a mask at all times and did not wear his tracker so contact tracing could be made easier, that's horrifying. It's awful, and Steve Saunders deserves to be fired, and he made a decision that is severely impacting a league, but more importantly, is severely impacting lives. And that's not all right. So moving forward, for the potential schedule complaints and concerns that opponents will have, like the Steelers, this, that, and the other, look, it's a pandemic. I mean, that's what's going to happen here. Again, things that would not affect people or affect the league in a normal season, a normal year, that's what's happening right now. And, you know, for example, for the Steelers, I hope they're thanking their lucky stars that they're not the team going through this, because if it was them and the Ravens were on the other side of this, I don't think they'd be complaining as much as the Steelers players are. But I understand the disappointment, and having bye weeks taken away, well, they might get a bye week right here. At the end of the day, this is a situation that is very frustrating. It's a very scary situation. I hope the Ravens do recover from this, and they will. They'll be stronger from it. They'll get through it. These guys are going to be all right. I have full confidence in this team to band together, to be able to go through this adversity together. And when this is all said and done, I think this Ravens team is going to be stronger because of it. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we get back, we'll be talking about a preview for the Ravens and Steelers game that might happen in Week 12, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. And we are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens episode. Kevin Allstriker still hanging out with you here. And we are back talking about a game preview of sorts for this Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens game that's set to be played at Heinz Field on Sunday, although I'm very skeptical that that will end up being the case. But just in case it is played, I do want to do a mini game preview and get into what it would be, how this team would fare against the Steelers, who are currently the only undefeated team left in the entire NFL. Baltimore, who's currently searching for their identity and has about half their team either on injured reserve or on the COVID list. That's rough. And with Lamar Jackson being out for this game, if it is held on Sunday, the keys would turn. They would hand over the keys to Robert Griffin III. 11 of 21 for 96 yards and one interception in the game that he played against the Steelers a year ago in week 17 when the Ravens decided to rest their starters. Gus Edwards, coincidentally, was the lead back for that game. 21 carries for 130 yards for the Gus Bus. Hayden Hurst ended up being the leading receiver there. Two receptions for 35 yards. I mean, this is an offense that is severely hindered without Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson makes the keys turn. This is no hate. No hate whatsoever on Robert Griffin III, but Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Robert Griffin III. And, you know, people will say, oh, well, Robert Griffin III is a better passer than Lamar Jackson. I don't think that's the case. Lamar Jackson is a very underrated passer. We saw in the game against Pittsburgh a year ago what some of my takeaways were from that game. Lamar Jackson, he has that certain agility aspect to him. Robert Griffin III is not a threat to run the football. I shouldn't say not a threat because he's somewhat of a threat, but he's not as big of a threat. He does not have as much speed, as much agility, as much burst as Lamar Jackson, and that I think takes away a big aspect of what this Ravens offense is able to do. Now, I know without Ronnie Stanley, without Nick Boyle, without Patrick McCurry and Matt Skura, the offense is going to look quite a bit different if this game ends up being played. I mean, the Ravens are going to have to be a little bit more pass-heavy, I think. This is a game where the Ravens are going to have to rely on the Gus Bus as well. Again, Gus Edwards, a guy who has averaged over 5 yards a carry throughout his career. The Ravens, they somewhat prepare for this type of thing every year, either getting ravaged by injuries or whatnot, because they have so much depth. But it's just on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line has not looked good even when they were healthy. I think Marshall Yanda's impact had a big impact, and I think that's shown over the first half and some change of this 2020 season. So, again, the Ravens are going to have to, I think, be more pass happy, but they did have success running the football on this Steelers team. Now, in this game, just a few weeks ago, the Ravens did lose Ronnie Stanley in the first quarter as well as Tyree Phillips, so two starting linemen, and they still were able to run the ball very, very effectively. Meanwhile, on the other side, Pittsburgh was not able to do that. Now, the Ravens had Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams in that game, and we've seen that they've struggled against the run in the last few weeks because a combination of those guys have been injured, either Campbell or Williams or both. So this is going to be a whole different game. I mean, the headlines here really are injuries and COVID for the Ravens, because fully matched up, I think the Ravens beat the Steelers. I do, but this is a situation where they're not fully matched up. The Ravens have, again, it's injuries and it's COVID. And there are just so many, it's like the what ifs, right? What if the Ravens had Lamar Jackson in this one? What if the Ravens had Ronnie Stanley back from injury? What if Nick Boyle never got injured? To an extent, this is just the Ravens were dealt this hand this season. This is the hand they were dealt. They have to deal with it. And every team has to go through some adversity at times. And the Ravens, they've gone through it plenty of times throughout their brief history. And they've shown that they respond to it pretty well. This is going to be a key point in the season for Greg Roman, for John Harbaugh. I mean, the Ravens right now, they're missing a lot of guys. And they're going to have to make do with a lot of practice squad people on this roster. They're going to have to call off quite a bit of their practice squad to play in this game. And the issue for Baltimore is that their practice squad at the moment, they have a lot of guys at positions that they don't necessarily need right now. The Ravens get hit hard in the offensive line department. They have Will Holden, who was playing some tackle. They have RJ Prince, who was recently signed. They have Nick Moore, who's a long snapper. But other than that, they don't have a center on the practice squad right now. The Ravens get hit hard on the defensive line. Pernell McPhee, Calais Campbell, Jihad Ward all out. Well, the Ravens have Aaron Crawford and Chauncey Rivers as guys who they could call up, but that's two guys and you're losing three. So the Ravens, and then you have Brandon Williams, who might be out for this game, and so two guys, but you're losing four. The Ravens don't necessarily need Nate Harrison right now, or necessarily a Sean Colkin, or necessarily Nigel Warrior, who's a safety. They don't need those guys right now, so it's just a matter of where do the Ravens have positional value? And right now on the practice squad, they have a lot of guys who are going to be big helps, but not necessarily in positions they need right now. And moving over to the defensive side of the football, the Steelers offense is extremely quick hitting. Baltimore had some trouble stopping stacks a few weeks ago. The Steelers love those quick hitting stacks, and we saw that where the Steelers would stack three receivers on one side and two on the other in five receiver sets. They'd stack two on one side and two on the other side. they do a lot of that different stuff. And the Ravens, Don Martindale, for as good of a defensive coordinator as he is, I love Don Martindale and what he brings to the table. He has a fascination with playing off coverage. And that just does not work against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have to be physical with them at the line. Now, stacks are really hard to defend. It is known and shown throughout the league that stacks are a little bit harder to defend than maybe regular receivers split out wide. But again, even in the past few weeks, we've seen the Ravens play a bunch of off coverage and teams have been killing them in the short passing game. With the Steelers, they're one of the best quick-hitting offenses in the entire league. The Ravens are going to have to stop that. And I think they have to get to Ben Roethlisberger. They can't blitz as much in this game. We saw the Ravens not blitz a ton against the Steelers in the first matchup. I don't think we're going to see a lot of that here as well. But again, this is... who do you have? The Ravens have their linebackers in terms of Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison and LJ Fort. Jimmy Smith has not practiced, so I don't think he's going to be playing in this game. That's another potentially big loss for this Ravens team. So all in all, if this game is played Sunday, I do not expect a great outcome for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, my first score prediction that I talked about with Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers was 27-24 Steelers. Without Lamar Jackson in there on Sunday, if this game is played, I just don't see that being the final score. I could see it being... I'll say Steelers 30, Ravens 20. I think that'll be the final score here. It's not going to be an absolute bloodbath. I mean, these two teams play really good games. They're always really close, but this is a potential situation where the Ravens literally just not going to have half their team. So when you put that into effect, it's really hard to win a game when that happens. But hey, we've seen Baltimore do crazy things. We've seen Baltimore look down and out, then they come out and they absolutely destroy. So hopefully that's the case here. But me personally, I just don't see with everything that's been going on, especially with the Ravens struggling to find an offensive identity, the defense struggling at times over the last couple weeks, I just don't see it coming together for Baltimore this week. That's all I have for you today. When we get back on Monday, we'll be either discussing the outcome of the game between the Ravens and the Steelers in Week 12, or we'll be talking about the NFL's decision to move the game. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.